can I ask you that question? What's wrong? Y'all okay? Yes. You had a long week?
Yeah.
Are you tired, exhausted? Yeah. Man, life must really dealt you a bad deck of cards this week. Well, then maybe this a hit. I've got two Post-it notes. So that's what you get fed by. We've been in a series on the what ifs, and we've been challenged with what ifs. How many of you have been challenged so far on some what ifs? I don't feel that this morning's going to be any different. I'm being challenged with it, and hopefully we can glean from this word this morning, and it will give us some substance that we need. Probably not going to go up on the overhead, so if you've got your Bibles or your phones, we can do it the old-fashioned way. If you didn't bring your Bible, scooch over next to the one beside you and share theirs. Y'all remember hearing that when you was growing up? If you didn't bring your Bible, scoot over, that person will share with you. We used to have ladies in the church, man, if they seen you without one, they would scoot over and as if they memorized that verse. No, you need it too, sweetheart. You know. But these are probably getting in my way. Now y'all know my study habits. Matthew, oh, you got it. 17. If you'd prefer to look on your paper, open the word. Matthew chapter 17, starting at verse 14. You got it? You ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Y'all talk about this Jesus of love, and nobody ever wants to look at Jesus the stern one. Everybody wants to talk about, well, God is love, and God, he is. But I'll tell you all the time, there's two sides to every coin. Not only is God a God of love, but God is a just God.
Yes.
And we talked about that. And now here Jesus is. Jesus is faced with an opportunity or faced with an issue of his own disciples not being able to do something. So he's starting to get a little upset here. And Jesus rebuked the demon. See, y'all call it epilepsy.
Right. Come on.
Y'all call it dementia.
Yep.
Y'all call it HD, ADHD, whatever. Y'all call it arthritis. Y'all call it cancer.
Yep.
Just so we can allow peaceful dwelling with the devil.
Come on. I'll open this pulpit. You'll preach this morning. Man, that's true. We misdiagnose so much in our own lives. It's no wonder we have issues tending to them. Look, Jesus is, his disciples, Matthew, he writes it, a boy with epilepsy. And Jesus rebuked the demon.
That's right. Call it what it is.
This this one particular passage of Scripture has about 7 different sermons in it, and I'm going to try to stay on course. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed," here's that little mustard seed faith that all of you say, "All I need is a mustard seed." And we've looked at mustard seeds. How many of you know they're very, very small? And that's all that's required of us, is have the mustard seed. We can't even produce a mustard seed, and we say that we are faithful people. We are people of faith. And Jesus is looking at the 12 that are walking with him on a continual basis, day in, day out. They're sleeping on rocks, under trees. They're breaking bread together. They're seeing all of these things that Jesus is doing. He releases them to do as he does. They're given an opportunity. They fail. I know you don't have the same problem they do. If you have a mustard seed of faith, you will say to this mountain. I like taking that word, this mountain. Mountain. I like taking that and just leaving that blank. Because I can say this to anything that comes across my path. Anything that is against what God has planned for me. Anything that stands or comes against the word of God. That's that mountain. This is the mountain that we're talking about. So I like leaving that blank so that I can fill it in. Whatever day I need to fill it in, I fill it in with that one. It might be my wife one day. Man, y'all just don't want to wake up on a Sunday morning. Just relax. I'll get you. Move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. How many of you have been taught that casting out demons only goes by prayer and fasting? And this is the scripture they pull it from. I'm going to just educate you before I start breaking this stuff down and giving you what I've got. That has nothing to do with it. This is all in the context of their doubt. Yeah. Read the context. Look at the scripture. Jesus is talking about their doubt. Why couldn't we do it? He said, "Your unbelief." He has not changed context of his speaking to his disciples, and he follows up with what he has already started with by saying, this type only comes by way of fasting and praying. He is talking about our unbelief. The only way that we get rid of our unbelief is by way of fasting and prayer. Why does that help so much? Number one, we're fasting. Number one, we're bringing our flesh under to submission, right? Of the way that we want our flesh to walk, the way we want our flesh to think, what we want our flesh to do. That is fasting. That's what fasting is for. You think that fasting is meant to change God's mind. It's not meant to change God's mind. Fasting is meant for you so that you change your mind, that you have a different perspective. See, you earn a different eyesight when you're into fasting, because you're bringing yourself, your flesh, under the submission of how God sees and operates in different situations in your life.
That's right.
We stand and operate one way. God's looking at it as another, and he's telling you to go here and go there, and you're not listening. Because you have gotten, You have submitted your spirit to your flesh.
Yes.
And God is wanting you to submit your flesh to your spirit. We walk by, and if we're led, it talks about if we live by the Spirit, right? You live by the Spirit, you'll die by the flesh. But we have this issue about walking by the flesh. So he's telling his disciples, the only way that you're going to get out of this is through prayer and fasting. Fasting, we're submitting our flesh. Prayer, what are we doing in prayer? Prayer is supposed to be an open communication between us and God. That's what builds our faith. Faith comes by and hearing by. So when we're speaking with God and we're talking with God, God is constantly putting things in us. He is speaking to our spirit, causing our spirit to rise up, causing us to step out, or at least gain the courage to step out in faith. And one of the easiest ways to get rid of our doubt is through fasting and prayer. It's the only way that's going to happen. We're in constant communion with God. That's how we build our faith. Because see, I can talk to people about impossible situations and they can look at me and go, oh yeah, I feel so sorry for you. I'm so sorry. I don't want to talk to you any longer. When you start feeling sorry for me, I don't want to talk to you any longer. What I'm looking for is someone to stand alongside me where two or more should lay hands on any one thing and it shall come. I need somebody that will help build my faith, not somebody that just jumps in a hole with me. I don't like holes anyway. They're dirty. They're wet, they're dark, they're lonely. Do I need to go on? That's where some of you live. You wonder why everything in the world seems to come around you. Because you're sitting in the hole. That's where you choose. That's the hard word. That's where you choose to live. Because Jesus said he set the captives free. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Y'all want to think that you're, oh man, this is what happens when you have two notepads or two little post-it notes. We think that being set free from sin and not being a slave to sin, we automatically take that word sin and we classify it to individual unbecoming tasks. Here, I'll talk to the religious people. You think because you don't smoke now, smoking was a sin, or you don't drink and drinking was a sin. See, how about the anger?
Come on, that's right. Come on.
Come on, how about the lust of the heart? And see, all of those are sins, but here's the difference. I'm not bound to sin. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm going to expand your mind a little bit. That means it's not that I'm not bound to the lust anymore. It's I'm not bound to all of the effects of the lust anymore. I'm not bound to any of the circumstances that are brought about through lust anymore. It's not just, I'm not bound to the sin, I'm not bound to the cause nor the effect.
Right.
See, you're not getting it. There's going to come a day when this world will see this thing of oppression. Okay, the Bible calls it tribulation. Now maybe you can follow me. Why do I have to speak religiously to get you to understand? Get out of religion. There's going to be an oppression on this world. God labeled it as tribulation. He said, don't get it twisted. There will be tribulation. He said, you will face tribulation. Did he not? We can go to the scripture. He says, you will face tribulation. That's one of the debunking things of being gone before. Never mind. I don't have time. This is Sunday. Sunday restricts me. Not really. So with this oppression, with this tribulation that comes, you and I are not bound to that. Yes, you will face. Yes, you will go through. But we're not bound. I don't know how to tell you. While the world is in turmoil, unrest, being uneasy, living without direction, you and I have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See, those that don't have God handle issues differently than those people that do have God. Okay? You've never had that. Have you ever tried it without God? Anybody ever tried it without God? How'd that work for you? Anybody ever tried it with God? But it wasn't any easier. I didn't say it was any easier. You handle it different. Or at least you should.
Amen.
This might just turn into a Wednesday night. Because I've got so much on two little pieces. So before we get, and anybody approaches and says, Pastor, you were completely out of context. I understand the context of this scripture. I get exactly what's happening. The disciples are pulled into the spotlight. They're said, we went to your followers, your people. They weren't able to do it. And then they came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we do it?
Yeah.
And he said, because you don't believe.
Yeah.
How? I know y'all love him. He's full of love. He will never discipline me in that manner. Yes, he will. If you get close enough to him. He probably already does it now, but you're so far from him, you can't hear him. Stop. See, this is why it's bad for me not to have good notes. Because things can happen. Okay, so now that we've gotten past that, let's move into what we've got. I just wanted you to understand that I'm not trying to pull something out to do a proof text on you. It has nothing to do with that. I looked at a scenario with a man. And when I seen this man going through just in this first verse of what had to have been going through his mind, what type of life he was living in, the turmoil. Have you ever had a circumstance or a situation that influenced your life so much so that it was outside of your control?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how life sometimes will come and present adverse situations to the point that it drives us outside of our comfort zone and we begin reaching for others to help us pull through? Anybody got anybody in their life like that that you can reach out and grab and they'll help you pull through sometime?
Yes.
Here's the what if. What if the ones you pull in can't help you? What if your bestest, you'll ride and die? Leaves you empty. What if the one that you dumped all your faith, I'm not talking about, man, listen, okay. I'm not talking about the time that your wife didn't cook you dinner and you went to your buddy's house and y'all talked about it. I'm not talking about those problems. They invented Wendy's and McDonald's and Burger King and stuff like that that brings men substance. I'm talking about real life stuff. I'm talking about things that keep you lying awake at night. I'm talking about stuff that has you crying day in and day out in such a helpless manner that people almost look at you like you're insane. I'm talking about the circumstances and the situation that you can't speak to because you don't know how.
Come on.
It drives you outside of your comfort zone. Now you go to your best. And you go, brother, well, you're not my best. You go, brother, I need some help. I can't get there. And my best looks at me and goes, I'll pray for you. And you leave and you feel as though nothing is changing. I'm talking about those circumstances. I'm sure we can all identify with what this man is going through at this point in time with a child that is sick to the point that he doesn't understand it. He doesn't, even the disciples didn't understand the child's sickness. What do you do when you go to a fellow Christian? You come to church on a Sunday, you fought hell all week. You don't know how it's going to turn out, and you know if you don't have an answer today that everything explodes tomorrow. Tomorrow is D-Day. Tomorrow's D-Day. And you come to church on Sunday in hopes. You know your Bible. I don't forsake the gathering because I'm going to get upbuilt. I'm going to get built up by someone else. So I'm coming in hopes that someone sitting beside me will be able to help me. Now, I'm already driven outside of my comfort zone because I don't want you to know. Ain't been there yet. I've been going through so much. If I was to tell you, Jeff, there's a possibility that you might just break ties with me. Everybody else too holy, man. They can't handle this kind of thing, man. When you start telling people how they are and you not living with them, they get uncomfortable. How does he know? They start looking at their friends, go, did you talk to the preacher last week? What did you tell him? You wasn't supposed to tell him. You trying to beat your husband with sticks and stuff? I told you not to say nothing. Never mind. I'm talking about these circumstances that drive us outside of our comfort zone. We're already in a place of vulnerability because now we're having to express this to somebody else outside of our circle. To be left hanging. It's not that they don't care about you. It's not that they don't love you. It's not that they don't want to help. It's they can't. Do you understand where he's coming from now? Do you get what it is now that he is struggling with?
Yeah.
He's gone to the church and said, hey. And the church said, well, okay. The Bible says, if there's any sick among you, call upon the elders of the church. They shall anoint your head with oil. They shall pray the prayer of faith, and the sick shall recover. And so it was, all of the steps, excluding your recovery. I'm not beating up a church this morning. I'm just trying to help us. Now we're left and we're going, far as D-Day. Watching this man really reminds me of us. We tried dealing with it ourselves with no avail. We've gone outside our circle with no avail. Well, the only thing that I have left Man, if y'all wasn't so holy, it'd be easier to preach to you. Your garbs are causing my eyes to squint because of the glow. Well, all I can do now is pray about it.
Always our last resort.
That's all I got. I reached for him this morning. And I'm going to have to replace him with your permission. His arm has fallen off already. And his head.
He wore him out.
I've worn him slap out. Some of this is because of y'all. All I have left. Can you? This man was in a desperate situation. He's trying everything that he knows to try. He's gone to the disciples that know him better than anybody else right now. Surely they know the formula to mix it up, to give me the answers. Surely they've been. Well, if I can't get anybody in the pews to talk to me about it and help me out, I'm gonna just go get the pastor.
Yeah.
Don't come get me. See, I try to break y'all of those habits immediately. Listen. You can lay hands on your wife and pray for her
yes.
as easy as I can.
Right.
You can take your petitions to God on your own behalf as easy as I can.
Yes.
What we're dealing with is our unbelief.
That's good.
Oh. Because some of you would much rather blame the one that you went to that could not supply what you were asking so that you wouldn't be. Isn't it easier to live with yourself when you can blame others for what's going on in your life? I didn't mean to. Sorry. I didn't mean to point at you. It's just, it's how I preach. But is it not? It's easier for me, Walt, to walk around in my doom and gloom and misdirection when I can point my finger at someone else and say it was because of them. Y'all don't want any of that this morning. It's good medicine. It's like castor oil. It's good medicine. We have to take this. He went to a group of people that he assumed had what it was going to take to get him through. The problem is, oh man, there's so much in here. The problem is we can look at that and we can falsely identify also, and we can walk into the church, and just because someone is sitting in the pew inside the church and claim to be a part of the body of Christ, they too should know how to bring me through my situation. The unfortunate side about it is the one that you went to, you soon to find out that they carried a doubt that blocked you. You can't assume just because someone is a fan of Christ that they're a follower of Christ. This is like revival stuff. Faith isn't something that you gain by the sight of your eye. It's not something that you see through your vision. Faith doesn't come by that way. We've already said it. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. These disciples, they have been watching Jesus do this. Well, surely we can too. Can you? Really? And then we find out in a dire situation that we too struggle in our doubt. What if your situation pushed you to that arena? What if the problem that you're having with your... See, I just can't even look. What if you're having problems with your spouse and you can't even get through it, and it's caused you to go outside of your marriage? Okay, here we go. I do not condone that. Hear me out. The moment the conflict is here and here, and you go here and leave him there, the enemy won. The enemy has now pulled divisiveness inside the marriage, inside the home. He's torn it apart. Where a house is divided. I love the Holy Spirit. Where a house is divided, and you're having this stuff taught to you, and you're okay with that. And I'm telling you, you better stop that. Yes. If there is an issue. Now, what? Just, this is all going together. This is all going to, see, you've got a problem with Dennis, Dawn. Did you hear? No, I don't. You've got a problem with Dennis. And what that problem is, what's going on with that problem, you can't fix it. Dennis isn't changing his eating habits. He wants meat and potatoes. He doesn't want eggplant. Y'all show me one egg, it grows on a plant, and I'll eat it. I bet you believe in Easter Bunny too. The problem that you have with your spouse is one that you can't fix. So you're considering, well, I know somebody that can. Let me go and talk to them. Now, okay. See, this stuff can get me in trouble sometime with people, because people, they're going to come to me and go, well, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to confess our sins one to another and blah, blah. Hear me out. If the problem's yours, fine, take it to whoever you want to. Take your problems anywhere. But if it's your husband's problem, if it's your wife's problem, see, I can't look at her when I said wife, because then people see how people are. You can't take your issue that you can't fix and open up all your business to other people outside. Listen, here's a dangerous fact. Women, you talk to another man about your man problem, and I catch you, I will humiliate you in front of your husband. You want to open up a doorway for Satan to creep in? Husband, it's the same. Don't you be talking to another woman about your woman problem. Y'all don't believe me. Y'all ain't never had none of that happen. Oh, man. Oh, I'm so sorry. If I was your husband, yeah. I wouldn't. I would just, you look so nice today.
Oh,
and so,
come on. I rebuke that. Come on. Yes, it will. Yes, he will.
But we're doing it. Isn't that what we Christians are supposed to do? Is go and talk to other people and get godly counsel? Yeah, godly counsel. Everything that's done is done in order.
That's right.
That's why, woman, I'll never counsel you by yourself in my office. Y'all make me extremely uncomfortable when you walk into my office and go, do you have a minute? No. Nope. Debbie! Debbie! I start calling for the easer.
That's right.
Because I don't want to be in that scenario.
That's right.
Don't open yourself up for defeat.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
At all, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life.
That's right.
What's that got to do with anything? Get yourself in that scenario, you go find out. You remember that little pitter-patter that you had when you first met your husband and first met your wife? Well, guess what? It just got reignited, but it is not your wife.
That's right. Come on.
This ain't marriage counseling. We're talking about us being put in scenarios, is what I'm trying to get to you, that you can't control, that you can't fix. You've done everything within your power to take care of it, and you can't do it, so you've gone outside of your inner circle.
Right.
Now you've gone to the outer circle.
Yes.
Man, I just, boop, boop, boop. The inner courts, the outer courts, and the Holy of Holies, right?
Yes.
Our problem today is that we don't think that we have the authority to go behind the curtain. We think the closest we can get is the outer court. So what we do is we deal with our problem out here. We can't fix it, so we bring our problem to the next, which we think they have the authority of the inner court. So they prepare all of your stuff. They sacrifice your lamb for you. If you're not careful, they will sacrifice more than that. And this man is sitting here in desperation. And he sees Jesus. And he goes to Jesus. And the Bible says, so I don't misword it, the man came to him kneeling down. How many of you know that some of our situations and circumstances will bring us to a place of humility? See, I don't brag on this at all, but I'm a prideful man, and I say it with this: I don't want everybody knowing my business. It's not that I'm proud of me or that I boast on me or that I've got it. I just don't like everybody knowing my business. See, you're prideful too. You just don't want to. I'm tearing garbs off this morning, aren't I? I just don't want everybody knowing. Not everybody has your best interest at heart.
Oh, come on.
Some people will take your information and they'll go in the basement and concoct it into ammunition and store it up for a later moment. Y'all ain't never been there. You can get hurt by loose lips.
Yeah.
Maybe you say loose lips sink ships. He has found himself in a place of humility. And he comes and kneels before Jesus. Watch, this is very important to all of us. You can't just go to church and worship your Savior. The first words out of the man's mouth was Lord. He give him all dominion. All authority. He said, Lord. Some of the situations that you might be fighting even today might be the very situations that God has allowed in your life so that he can break you. You're trying to ask for him to let me out. Yeah. Let me out. Take this from me. Get this off of me. I can't do this. I can't deal with this. And he says, no. This ain't got nothing to do with any of that you're going through. It's got something to do deeper. Yeah. I'm trying to get to. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to check your prayer life before we even get into prayer study. Have you ever found yourself praying to God about one thing, and the Holy Spirit, he's like he's standing in front of you going, no, I ain't letting that one go. I ain't letting that one go. You remember, I'm not letting it. We're going to talk about, you're not going to talk about, you're going to talk. Y'all ain't never had that? Y'all ain't never had God just basically shut you down? Okay, well, y'all are expecting me to have his hand over your mouth and that kind of, I'm talking about when your prayers hit glass ceilings. Yeah. Yeah. So you got to get into scripture and then people start to, oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you really start feeling like God didn't hear you. Yeah. Oh, he heard it? He's trying to deal with something else.
Yes, he is.
Because he said, if I can get to this one, if I can get past this and get over here.
Yeah.
If I can get you out of here, mm-hmm. and I can get into here.
That's right.
But the whole time we praying, follow along. We rely so much on our broken faith. When times of desperation hit, we see no resolve. And I've got to ask you this morning, do you truly believe? Well, yeah. Pastor, watch this, because I've had this with other pastors. They can believe for that, but they don't believe for that.
Yeah.
Time out. Hold on a minute. You mean to tell me that you believe Jesus died for your sin and that we're saved by grace through faith alone, and I can be saved in all the stuff that I've done as a sinner.
Yep.
But now you're telling me because of circumstance and situations and whatever else, let's just use divorce. Mm-hmm. Now you're telling me that if a man divorces his woman, he is not going to see the kingdom. That's you. You honestly believe that Christ can save, but cannot restore. You mean to tell me that Jesus dying on the cross, you're 100% in. He took all my sin, and ain't nobody shaking your tree. I'm saved by the blood of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, kept.
Amen.
I'm adopted. I'm chosen.
Yes.
I'm a child of the King.
Yes.
I don't know if he heals now or not. See how we walk in broken faith?
Yeah.
He said all you needed was a mustard seed.
That's right.
And you can't even drum up a mustard seed. Because I feel like that you just grabbed your minds and you just shut off that statement. I want to open up your head again. It wasn't that they didn't have the mustard seed of faith for that healing. I don't believe that. I don't believe that that's what it came to, was having the mustard seed of faith for that healing. It was the mustard seed of faith in him. Period. Are you with me? I can drum up a mustard seed of faith for you and pray for you and believe that God will touch you. But I go home and I have an issue with God meeting my need. Are you following me? He's not talking about the mustard seed of faith for the one individual act or request or prayer or belief or prophetic word. He's not that. He's talking about the mustard seed of faith as a total. If you believe that he can do one thing, you have to believe that he can do another. And it don't have to be that big of faith. Just a mustard seed. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around that, isn't it? It's that small. And what is wrong with us? How can we as believers and followers of Christ actually stand and actually profess our salvation and Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior, but yet we have issues with believing? Jesus said something very peculiar to me when he left. He said, yeah, and he said it to me. He wrote it down in Scripture. It's for my learning. So he said it to me. When I return, will I find any faith? He put it in Scripture. It made it to the word that you and I glean from. Will I find any faith? That's scary. Because we're all trampling around as though we are saved. Uh-oh. See, this is gonna be this is where it gets tight. We've got girl. Last time I done this, I got in trouble because I made a mess. I'm going to sprinkle them and see if you can find a mustard seed of faith. Do you think that you can find it in your heart? I wish you wouldn't have done that. Where was I? Come on. Sidetrack. I'm searching and I can't find it. Because I take that particular point and I tie that to the scripture of how I'm saved. I'm saved by faith. By grace, through faith. And if I am this crippled in my faith, I don't want you to be so concerned with you as I am with me sometimes. You be holy because he is holy and you're okay. I have to put myself at a different standard, and I've really got to double check and quadruple check. See, I'm not the one that can tip a waitress 10% and walk out and be okay with it. I'm not saying that's a sin.
Right.
I'm just saying I've got a different standard I've got to live by. And my standard is do unto others. Them things is little. I would hope that you and I could come to one another in the house and ask for help.
Yes.
And then when we would lay hands on one another and agree that it would be so.
Yes.
That it would play out just like the word says it would play out. But yet here we are, crippled in our own faith as pastors.
Yes.
We're trying to teach a fragmented church.
Yes.
In our fallacies and our failures.
Yes.
And our lacks.
Yes.
Come on, you see where I'm going? Do you see how hard this can be? And if I say something just right, or better yet, just wrong, you leave. Because it didn't align. Oh. Yep. I was going to change that word, but I think it's the right word. It didn't align with what you believe. And you're coming at me with a fragmented faith.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that your belief is right?
That's right.
Yes. They hating me right now. Who said what you believe is right?
Yeah.
See, the best that you and I can do, the very best that you and I can do is filter what God puts in our hearts and in our minds. We filter it through our finite. This little pea brain, I'm wondering if a pea brain is smaller than a mustard seed. Because we try to filter. How do you filter such a big, big God? Okay, let's do the notes now. That was the opening. Chicken was just put in the oven. You've got at least 37 minutes. Oh, I wrote down, life will present conditions that are complex. What I mean by that is, life will present conditions in your life where you just can't take one thing and move it there and everything's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the family. Life will present complex circumstance. Husband and wife,
yeah,
you got a disagreement.
That's right.
Because you left your stuff hanging over the shower, but my stuff was laying on the floor. I'm not trying to get personal. My stuff laying on the floor, your stuff draped over the shower, but it's okay for you, but it ain't okay for me. Come on, any other man in here ever get scolded because they left a pair of socks or shoes or something? And I'm trying to keep it clean for you. Your dirty, nasty drawers. You've left them laying in the bathroom, and your wife said, come here. The hamper is 2 feet from where you dropped thus. You can't go. This is a complex issue now, because now husband and wife argument. Yeah. Husband and wife begin to have hatred. Husband and wife fall into contempt.
Yeah. Come on.
Now we just can't stand one another. So the easiest fix for this is to take this and move it there. Boy, that was close. Be careful what you wish for. I can't just move her there. Why? Yeah. Because now, well, not now. This is in the time of turmoil.
Yeah.
Now if I,
yep.
I have two others I've got to tend to. Because
yeah.
I wasn't letting you have them. You do know that, right? That's why I came back that night.
Yeah.
See, y'all... Boy, oh boy. I left the morning of and I wasn't coming back. I was going to go live with my nephew. I was going to make him repay me. Because I took him in. I was going back to him. We'd already set it up. I said, if you'll just let me hang out in the basement, sleep on the couch until I get an apartment. And he said, it's fine, Unc. So don't think you have something over me. I had a plan. So I left that morning with clothes packed in the trunk, and I went to work. I was not coming back home. I was done. But God had different plans, and he created this, thing. Boy, it'd get me in such dire trouble. He created this woman called my mother. And I'm riding down the road and I'm crying. A grown man, 2 kids, mortgage, car payments, bills, crying, talking to my mommy. She said, son, where are you at? I said, I'm on the interstate. She said, and crying like that, pull over. I said, I'm not pulling over, Mom. I don't care anymore. I've lost everything in my life, and I'm done. And my mother says, honey, don't give up. She says, I'm praying for you. I said, okay. Mom, I got to go. I've got to go. I love you. She says, I love you too. Don't quit. And I went back home, Miss Linda. I left mad. I came back madder. I got a key to my own house, Dawn. And I step up on the back porch. And I knock on the door. It's my house. It's my house. And I knock on the door. She had the audacity to open the door. What is she thinking? I was mad at her. I wanted to punch her when I left. Y'all don't understand. Y'all think that me and her, we still struggle in our salvation. God's still working on me. If you think he's done with you, you got a long road ahead of you. And she opened up a door, and I looked at her in the eye, and I said, I want to see my kids. And I went to the living room, and I knelt on the floor in front of a fireplace, and I held my kids. See, you don't understand. Life can present you with circumstances that are more complex. She always takes care of me. She knows I'm a blubbering baby. But I held my kids long enough that God would change the heart of man. Now watch how he changed it. I went to her and I said, I'm not leaving. You're welcome to stay, but I ain't going nowhere. And I stayed in my house and I slept in my bed. Now we didn't touch for one whole year, sleeping in the same bed. I thought I was getting breakthroughs when I'd pass her in the hallway and she'd flip me off because she wasn't talking to me. So if I got a simple little flip off, at least she acknowledged my existence. I was happy with that, Charlie. But for one whole year, and we had discussion, and our discussion was, when the kids are 18, we're done. Boy, wasn't we doing them a favor, keeping them bound in division and argument. Little did I know that my wife would finally find Jesus. And we watched God create a marriage in our home.
Yes.
He didn't restore our marriage. People said, Rocky, are you going to love her? Man, I'll never forget it. Are you going to love her now as much as you did then? I said, no. I'm going to love her more.
Amen.
I didn't think I could. But see, when you have the absence of love,
that's right.
A like turns into a dramatic loving affair. Complex circumstances. If I moved her, now I'm going to have to take her. That's going to cost me a steak.
Yes.
That right there, I just felt it. Felt it in my spirit. That's going to cost me. If I would have moved her, I would have had to restructure. Husbands, wives, you better listen. People that want to be married, you better pay attention. The effect on my two children. You're telling me it wouldn't have affected them? You're telling me they would have been different than they are today? I'm going to say you're wrong. But now, there's that great testimony for them on how God can fix anything. So don't think that what you said can't be restored. God will restore it.
Amen.
What you've done, don't think it can't be undone. God will restore it.
Yes, he will.
We've got to understand the complex situations that we will face, just like this man did. That's a complex situation. See, you don't view it as that. That's why I've got to open your mind up and let you understand that there are things that life will present us that will cause us to do things beyond our norm.
Yeah.
Seeking for answers. Watch this. There are some problems in life that will rise to a point that will drive you, watch this, past your friend's compassion. Beyond your pastor's care and straight to the throne of God. My question is, how do you approach Him? The Bible said He knelt. See how God loves you? Loves you so much so that He will make your life so uncomfortable and so complex that it will drive you to His feet. See how He loves you? You don't see that as love, but see how He loves you. He saw you from afar off, but He said, "Nah, I'm going to set it up for you, baby girl. Come and see Daddy."
Amen. Amen.
Kneeling in humility. Opening a door for His authority to rest in your home. To rest in your heart, to rest in your mind, to rest in your circumstance. See, He doesn't want to be just Lord over the corn on your toe. Did you?
No.
Okay. He's healed. I don't know. That just came. He wants to be Lord over everything. That's my point. He doesn't want you on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
That's right.
Until whenever Big Mouth shuts up. He wants you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sometimes life is going to allow events that require that we take it to God. See, with the man, I'm closing. With the man, he felt with men, things were impossible. Soon to realize that with God, all things were possible. So my big what if to you this morning is, what if life has presented you with something that you can't fix? What if life has given you something right now that your friends can't fix? Christianese, watch. I'm telling you this morning, to take it to the Lord. It's Christianese. Man, it's so, just has no weight to it, does it? See, y'all don't understand. You don't, if you've not been there, you don't under, if you're not spiraling out of control, you don't understand what it is for people to say, well, just pray about it. Have you prayed? No, I've never thought about praying about it. Never crossed my mind. See, I'm talking about the circumstances that drive you outside of your own prayer life. This is what we're talking about, this mustard seed of faith. We're talking about this fragmented faith that we carry, and we think that we're just big and bold. We're warriors for God. As soon as Goliath steps on the field, you run behind all the shelters, and you wait on the little shepherd boy to come and handle all your problems. You go to the pastor. Can you throw some of your rocks? That fit right into that. That's just, I love the Holy Spirit. But see, you don't understand. You don't understand any of that. When yes, don't ask me if I've prayed about it. Sometimes because I have prayed is because of where I'm at. Because God's going, oh, I'm glad you're coming in here right now broken. I got some other stuff I want to fix. You got a moment? See, y'all don't get it. It's, you can't be a fan all your life. You have to be a disciple. Last time I done this, that's exactly what happened. They just started falling. I shook it last time like that or something. Help me describe what you see. Just, I want to show you how our minds work. You got one, right?
Pee break.
What do you see?
Nothing, really. Not much of anything.
You don't see much of anything?
No.
What do you see?
They're pretty small.
I'm trying to wade out into the pool here. That's why. What do you see?
That's hard to grab a hold of.
Let her keep talking for you.
I'm sorry.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That wasn't what I was.
Times to be quiet.
Wisdom, my friend. Wisdom. He reads a lot of Proverbs. You probably do, don't you? Told you. What do you see? A speck. You're kind of in the same lines. This is what I seen when I poured them in my hand and looked. I'm sitting here, and when I first asked, what do you see? I'm answering the question for him, or I'm answering the way I want him to answer. I'm wanting him to say, they're not in my hand. You didn't answer, she did. If I didn't think you could handle it, I wouldn't do that to you. I judge how you respond sometimes, whether or not I can play with you or not. Isn't it amazing? You know what else I saw? I saw some were smaller than others. Whew. This is what this is telling me. I just want to share with you. This means I don't have to ride on your faith.
Amen. Amen.
See, I've got to ride on mine. See, yours might be that big. And yours might be that big. But can I tell you, if she can ride on her faith of a mustard seed, although it may be bigger than hers, she too, if she can speak to that blank, whatever, you say it in your head, then that means you can speak to your blank, not your husband. Girl, why did I feel that? Fragmented faith. Look at the mustard seed that I just give a couple of you. Just look at it and find out how in the world are you supposed to make that even smaller? Because in reality, That's what we're carrying.
That's about right. Yes, sir.
That's how we really carry our faith. They can even be, I'm glad I washed my hands this morning. They're not dirty. I would be telling them myself, wouldn't I? Look at that. I mean, they're in their own little compartments. They're fragmented. We use one fragmented piece to believe for our children. We use another fragmented piece to believe in our marriage. And we're trying to figure out why our life is full of circumstances that we can't seem to get through. I don't want that. That's not mine.
Amen.
I'd rather take another one. I want that big one too. I gotta get that big one. The problem is that big one is gonna be fragmented before I get to the back door. Because some of you right now, you got a problem. Got something going on, got an issue, you can't seem to break. See, some of you are thinking about that right now. But Pastor, you don't understand. No, I don't. The only thing that I understand is what I just told you. You're operating in fragmented faith. You have doubt. And Jesus said the only way that this is going to be taken care of is through fasting and prayer. I'm going to ask you the question. When's the last time you turned your plate over? Not the Bible, your plate.
Yes.
Literally, at home. See, that's I'm gonna ask that of the church. It's gonna be actually a declaration of it's gonna be a requirement. And see, you have to live with it, whether or not you face back with that or not. But it'll be a requirement for the week of revival that you turn your plate over at home, that you find your kitchen table, that you take a plate out. You know them little pretty plates that y'all put out? Well, you don't even put them out. You leave them. Well, that's just like Christian. We got stuff that God gives us and we don't want to use it because we're scared we're going to break it. That china in the cabinet on the lock and key. Don't you? You can't even walk by it. There's a 3-foot rope. She arms David for Christmas and Thanksgiving, he's got to stand there with an AR. Won't let us come past the rope. Stop playing. But it's going to be a requirement that we turn over our plate for that week. And I may help you because I used to struggle. Well, what if I fast? Me, it's easy now. I just fast Oreos, chocolate chip cookies, Vienna fingers. I love them things, man. They work me over. It's the only cookie in the world that I can eat without milk. And I'll eat a whole row of it, boy, just watching him. Ask me how I know. But I'm going to ask that you turn that plate over. And what we may do is, I may even share with you what you can and can't eat. I'll just share with you what you can eat. See, some of you already counted yourself out, and I'm not even coming to the revival, so he can't even ask me. That way I don't have to lie to him in church. The thing about it is, Walt, I'm going to send you a text or make a phone call and say, hey, are you fasting this week? Walt will go, well, the Bible says. Don't be telling everybody. I got you. Why are we going to go through that? Because we're going to defeat your doubt.
That's right.
We're going to cause you to repent. Y'all think it's running to the altar, don't you? We're going to cause you to change your thinking. That's what repent is. change your thinking. I want you to believe that he can. This is going to be a warfare weekend. I want you to believe that God can actually stand in your circumstance and cut the enemy's head off. That's what I want you to believe. So the only way I can get you to do that is the instruction of Jesus. Here's the hard part. I'm going to ask you to pray. That's the hard part. I'm going to ask you to pray that week. Man, if you've seen all the sad faces, man, when I just said that, I mean, some of them just got challenged. But we're gonna fast and pray as a body of believers for that week of revival. I'm not like your typical pastor. Revival is not for the sinner. Girl. At Jersey, boy, I'm telling you. 9th, 10th, and 11th. Don't go to Jersey. So the week of that week, I'm gonna ask that. We'll talk about that more next week, but we're gonna implement that. How many of you would like to be in a circumstance in life to where you had the faith? This is what it's going to take. If Jesus said it to his disciples, it's got to have some weight. I'm not going to ask you to go through the motions. I'm going to ask you, our prayer, Father, help me in my unbelief. Y'all okay? I'm sorry. I apologize. I won't come out with two pieces of paper again. I'll make sure we have something. I'll put them here just in case I want to attach them back to that again. God loves us so much. That he's okay with driving us to him. Because if he wouldn't have allowed that, that man may not have ever broken to the point of coming to him. Because see, if you can handle your problem and your issue, shoot, you'll even miss church. If life treating you good, I won't see you but once, maybe twice a year. I call you Christers. Yeah, I talk about you. Christmas and Easter. I call you Christers. That's when you come to get fed. But that's a feel-good thing. That what you're trying to do, you're trying to have one step above reliving the Old Testament. Because they would go once a year. You said, I'm a one-up them, I'm going twice. Well, it's breaking it down, kind of. 6 months, you know. Half a year, I live like hell. I feel good about the hell I lived for one day, and then I live like hell again, and then I feel good about the hell I lived for one day, and I'm okay on that cycle. Is there anything else I need to put out? Can I drop it? Okay, we go drop the helicopter. Let's stand.